and a very good evening to everyone on this, the last night of 3306. For those of us in the western arm of Hutton Orbital, those of you on the other side of the station will already be at 3307 due to some weird time dilation event. We must seem like students to you getting up in the middle of the afternoon. Anyway, if you hurry over to join us, you can go through it all again. Though why anyone would want to live this year over again, oh, goodness only knows. Oh, perhaps it'd be a good opportunity to say goodbye again. Anyway, we sponged each other down using dried out Cockham spongiform victuals on very long sticks, and the smell of fruit is starting to subside everywhere except for the apology officer's chair, which no reason that we can determine. I'm joined by survivors of the great pudding explosion of 3305, namely...
me, Harry Balzac.
Well, my finger do, and that pudding deserved a place in the Galnet Food Digest. It was that dangerous.
Great chieftain of the pudding race. I'm not. I'm the apology officer.
I'm Huang Ker. No, not the Huang Ker. I'm just a Huang Ker.
I'm Norma Snockers, and I'm married to this daft pudding.
And I'm Lou Snockers, and I'm about to say something about getting my just desserts.
We'd better get on with the headlines, or we'll be here all year. You can get your own Hutton mug, but you had better be quick about it.
Galnet is so 3306.
If you claim you've built it, they will come.
Toy soldiers sent away with their nuts cracked.
There's a warm rescue for a pilot from a cold down under.
Atrus 5060 puts down his eggnog and throws down the gauntlet.
It's been an interesting year of the octopus.
I've got a report on a generic plumber racing event.
Since the dawn of time. Okay, maybe not, but since the 15th of January 3306, one pilot has stood head and shoulders above the others. The Hutton Run, for some, is a walk in the park. A quick trip to the shops, no further than the walk between your back door and the garden shed. But for the majority of the galaxy, it represents a challenge. Can you fly in a straight line for an hour and 22 minutes and 30-something seconds and not lose your marbles? Brett Riverboat has, for nearly a year, been the holder of the title of the fastest trucker in the galaxy. Forget those people who say it takes 45 minutes. He actually owns a stopwatch and has registered on the Hutton Helper, and his time has yet to be beaten. To encourage Hutton truckers to do the necessary to topple him from his pedestal and stop his head swelling to gargantuan proportions, Alvin has authorised the Hutton admin team to put up the prize of one genuine Hutton crafted frameshift drive plate forged mods preventing Hutton mug for anyone that can beat Brett Riverboat's time. LCU No Fall Like One of Canon has been scratching his tinfoil over the celestial mechanics. Wings of truckers have been preparing their beacons for the fastest approach, and more than one trucker has been seen at engineer bases getting their small ship engines upgraded, ready for skimming those last few seconds off the station approach. Do you want a real Hutton mug? Are you the first to be fastest at the longest? Sign up to the Hutton Helper at hot.forthemug.com, and as Buck says, get the truckin'. Oh, and in case anyone was thinking of attempting it using a fleet carrier, Intarius Fusion, maestro behind the Hutton Helper, has an auto-sneaky fleety detector, and he will disqualify you.
As an avid follower of Galnet, your average pilot, and maybe the odd harmless one, might be forgiven for considering that Galnet News is the outlet for up-to-the-minute, right-on-the-money, on-the-button news, the latest with the scoops. But sometimes, just sometimes, the bleeding obvious comes home to roost here at Hutton. Weeks ago, it was reported that ammonia wells near the Coal Sack Nebula were just what the Sirius Corporation needed. They developed a way to terraform them. And as if there weren't enough Earthquakes and water worlds out there, unblindly, pilots from across the galaxy started handing in their data. Ammonia world after ammonia world. Hutton, however, is ever vigilant against the coming storm, and with a weather eye, courtesy of Atrus 5060 and his aching joints on the galaxy, published a warning that Tharg the Mighty, master of a billion eight-sided menias and scourge of stations, might be a little annoyed that you've been playing croquet on his lawn. Galnet appears to have a little too much Christmas pud. They've seen their turkey stuffed and stuffed it in their bellies and fallen asleep. Yes, Galnet agrees with Hutton. It was a bad idea. Like sticking your stick in a hornet's nest and wondering why nasty, stripy, stinging things are attempting to stick you with their sharp behinds. Humanity has done a number on itself. We've punched the shark in the nose having read a galwebst. We've licked both terminals of the battery. We've stuck our heads in something marked head remover. And wait and see if we can complain that it's rather drafty around the collar. Stay tuned for the latest from Atrus 5060, but in the meantime, for goodness sake, if you see a big green mutton marked Do Not Touch, just walk away.
There are ways and means to build an audience. You can broadcast for 5 years and hope that someone turns up and listens, even if it's just Leatherbreaker. You can brush your hair smartly, clip your beard and put your most winning smile before turning to camera and saying, subscribe please. Or of course, you can make up bunkum, bulges, horse apples, fairy tales. Surprisingly, that appears to work, as one commander discovered this week, publishing claims of strange noises from Sagittarius A and decoding them to reveal that there was something out there. To date, the noises that have been revealed sound nothing more than an audio recording of the commander farting in the bath, but it has achieved the desired effect, with countless commanders heading for the heart of the Milky Way armed with a microphone and a spectrograph and attempting to stare at the results like it is one of those magic eye pictures. For those of us that aren't comfy sitting there looking like we're inspecting the end of our own nose, remember, not everything you read on Galweb is actually true, and sometimes, as with Jordan Rochester, it's just a way to get one over on your opposition.
With all the recent talk of the 10th and the 11th in Mitnahas, the Hutton PGS team, aka the Hot Pit team, was surprised to receive a notification from the 10th Fleet, no relation, were interested in a little place called Barnard Star. This isn't the 10th that you're thinking of though, and in fact, it wasn't the 10th we were either. A lone commander has discovered the keys to their offices, moved in, blown away the dust and proceeded to insinuate themselves as the new owner of the second-hand player group formerly known as the 10th Fleet. Their objective? Between the 10 of them, to take over Barnard Star, subdue the Dockers, and expand into no fewer than 5 important systems. Of course, we had to give them credit. They've asked nicely if we'd step aside. Alvin's answer? We're terribly sorry, but as you're not actually the 10th Fleet, you can jog on. With a side order of, P.S. if you want somewhere nice, we can suggest many systems of the 20,000 that buy Hutton mugs that aren't full of truckers. P.P.S. No. Now stop it.
Heroism is what Hutton attempts to do best. Certainly the craziest things in the galaxy. Earlier this year, as part of the Hot Mess program, Hutton organised to send Hutton mugs to the Antarctic console to ensure that it stayed mods-free during the current winter outbreak season. Two stations, Davis and Mawson, were mugged to within an inch of their diddly-doodahs by Commander Dog's Breath. and many, many funds raised for special effect and hearing dogs as a result. However, the mission doesn't stop there. An emergency was declared recently. A member of the team was brung low by a non-mods incident and needed emergency aid. This is where PWP comes into its own. How do you rescue an honorary Hutton trucker from a self-inflicted, potentially dangerous situation? You call on as many groups as you can, and you get there in double quick time. Commander Fosdyke was one of the first on this scene with his long lens and managed to document the rescue. A Cobra was dispatched from Hutton with enough fuel to make it. A number of SRVs set off from a local planetary base, fitted with snowplows, and a makeshift landing zone was created ready for the safe evacuation of the injured party. Through a combination of good weather, some fancy flying, a little bit of luck and a lot of hard work, the Cobra made it to a landing space 40 kilometers north of the ice base, loaded the passenger, and without breaking down made it back safe to Nurse Wyeth's capable and ever so warm hands in time to keep the pilot safe. Congratulations to the team, and we're sending a shipment of fuel rats and cannon interstellar goodies to your ice base in the next few weeks by way of a suitable reward.
Good evening, trackers. This is Atrus 5060 reporting in with dire news about the Thargoids. The dastardly bugs have attacked us on this last day of the revolution of Earth around Sol, where we would normally focus on saying goodbye to the crazy year 3306 as it has been, and welcoming in 3307. Reports from both the Coalsack and Witchhead Nebulas, or Nebulae maybe, have identified massive Thargoid presence in the following systems. Oh, they've given me a list to read again. Musca Dark Region PJ... Oh, I'm in my PJs right now. PJ-P B6-1. Coalsack Sector VU-O B6... that one. Coalsack Sector KNS B4-9. Haki, Evangelis, Lembas, Wellington, Shenvi, and Oh No Rose. Stations are damaged and the Pilots Federation has launched rescue ships to aid in the evacuation of civilians. Independent commanders are needed to evacuate passengers, deliver emergency supplies, and most importantly, engage the Thargoids in combat zones. Haxwing will be coordinating with the AXI, or is that AXI, and its allies to combat the bugs. What better way to ring in 3307 than with the splattered innards of a Thargoid on your canopy? As for what has prompted this attack, the LCU No-Fool Like 1 through 10 have theorised that the moves by the Sirius Corporation and the Alliance to terraform Ammonia Worlds, the Thargoids' native habitat, was just poking the sleeping giant. However, the thing that really set them over the edge to a full-scale attack was the actions of one trucker, a Commander Montgomery Python. His first Thargoid interceptor kill has triggered a full-blown retaliation strike by the bugs. The LCU clones have intercepted several Thargoid transmissions, which have been translated roughly to, "Bring me Monty's head so I may dip it in my nice cup of tea." The last bit about the tea requires additional checking, since we believe the word for tea in Thargoid language is akin to oozy liquids that sometimes leak out of cubicle 3. We're not certain yet if it's just a one-off event, or whether Montgomery Python's actions have led to another sustained invasion. Truckers, humanity needs you to once more step up and fight off the Thargoids. Good luck out there, and wishing you all a safe and happy 3307. For the mug, P P.S. Did you get my Christmas card? It was the one with all the tinsel and the glowy Thargoid bits on it.
Well, what a year it's been. 3306 was the year of the octopus. A suitable one when, as far as the BGS goes, the truckers appeared to be as deaf as a cephalopod. Where we needed systems locking down, we drove up their influence to the point of expansion. Where we needed systems boosting, we ignored it until we became embroiled in conflict. But we got through it, we're still trucking, and are up to a whopping 25 systems under Alvin's benevolent fluffy gaze. Currently, in our newest system, and the only one we don't control, we are finally starting the gradual, and boy, it will be gradual if you continue to ignore us in 3307, rise to the top. The current election is showing as a complete victory, although we have to await confirmation, as the Green Party of Samanai have launched a legal challenge, claiming they have evidence of unmarked belugas shipping unregistered voters into their system. So far, all they have shown to support their claims are blurred security camera footage of what Alvin's Defence Council suggests is the normal mayhem around the For the Mug visitor beacon. Over in the thingy, you know, near the middle. Reminds me of that lovely young commander off the Holovid. What's her name? Oh, that's Colonia. Colonia, that's it. Well, it's shut. Completely. The whole thing. Totally offline. Nothing happening. No one seems to know why. There are rumours, of course, but we don't listen to rumour. So if you see anything that looks like a hostile expansion into someone else's system, don't tell them. This just in. The New Year party is in tier, so while it looks closed, it's really a cover to keep the party secret. So all truckers in Colonia get over to tier and do some celebratory missions while you're at it. Merry New Year, truckers, and may the newly installed showers at Hutton Orbital have enough water pressure to clean that gunk out of your ears. Over to Norma.
News has reached us this week of the fun and frolics of the Sidewinder Mario Kart event, kicked into life by Rincewind Cymru last Sunday on the night side of Planet A1 in the aptly named Turbo system. It appears that of the 15 participants, 14 used their initiative, their brains and their night vision to race around a figure of eight course at breakneck speeds. One driver, who shall remain nameless, but at Graham MK's insistence we shall call Amelia Hawke, immediately gave the live stream an 18 rating when her lack of vision was pointed out, to wit, "Oh fuck, that's so much better." Shattermage won both races, although it more or less turned into an anarchy with four shell cannons and shock mines punting Sidewinders around like snooker balls. The official competitors were, and there are some blasts from the past in here, Aidan, Amelia, Bam, Bapster, Chris Hankey, Graham MK, Auburn Mallow, Holiday Hero, Massey, Montgomery Python, Overlight, Shattermage, Snark3D, TOZ and Taran4294.